This is Side Podcast, episode 19, part 1, Monaco qualifying. Can we talk about it yet?
Nope.
Oh, please.
No, we've got to cover free practice 1 first.
Oh, okay. What happened in free practice 1?
Well, it's Monaco, so it's on Thursday. Friday being a day of rest in Monaco.
Isn't every day a day of rest in Monaco?
Yeah, not a lot gets done, does it? So Thursday, it was a nice day. Nice day in Monaco. Bad weather predicted for this weekend. But Thursday, it was sunny and it was warm.
The Ferraris are a different colour.
Yeah. They're running tobacco sponsorship again.
Because it's allowed in Monaco.
It is.
It's legal.
Yep. And I think there were reports and threats from photographers saying, we're not going to take pictures of your car because we can't use tobacco branding in our newspapers in the European Union. And what they've done, they've gone back to the original Ferrari Red, or very close to Ferrari Red, that they used to run way back when. In place of the kind of Dayglow orange.
Almost spiker coloured.
Yeah, the kind of, which is the Marlboro branding colours. So they've dropped that and they've gone back to the original. So everyone goes, ooh, let's have a look at the new Ferrari.
Actually, in free practice, the Super Guris were depressingly slow.
After the last race.
And their 1 point.
The kind of the highs of that one, it's a bit of a fall to earth, I think. They were not spectacular.
The Renaults were looking better, though.
Yes.
But Kovalainen seemed to be struggling with the track, despite having experience in GP2.
Well, it's his first year in a Formula 1 car, and he definitely, early morning practice, he wasn't looking confident around there, especially in comparison to Fizzy, who's obviously been there plenty of times before.
But he crashed.
He did. He spectacularly planted it into the tyre barrier in Sandoval, yes. But he finished in fourth position.
Despite the crash?
Yes. Okay. Whereas Kovi, he was way back in 16th.
Pretty much all about McLaren, really, with Alonso finishing on top.
Yes.
Before Hamilton, and then Heidfeld behind them.
So McLaren's up front, mm-hmm. Ahead of the Ferraris.
Yes.
Looks like they may have the legs of them, certainly in early practice.
In free practice too, they were starting to learn about the tyres, weren't they?
Mm-hmm. They came to the conclusion that the super soft tyre, which has been used for the very first time this season, is possibly a little bit too soft and was basically only useful for one lap before the performance dropped right off. So could be great as a qualifying tyre. It's not going to be so good as they have to use it in the race at some point.
So in this race, they're going to be preferring the hard tyre.
The harder tyre, yes. It's called the hard tyre, but technically it's the soft tyre. Because the soft tyre is the super soft tyre, if you get my meaning.
What? You mean the hard tyre this weekend is like equivalent to the soft tyre at previous weekend? Michael Schumacher is back again.
Better dress sense.
Can we talk about it yet?
No, you can't talk about it yet.
God.
Free practice 2 on Thursday. Michael Schumacher turns up and somebody had sorted out his wardrobe and said, will you please just wear Ferrari branded clothes? We spent a lot of money on designing these. Forget the flowery gay shirts. Just wear something red and white, please.
And he looks a hell of a lot better for it. And free practice 2 had lots and lots and lots of crashes.
Lots of crashes.
Coulthard first.
Yes.
Then Davidson.
Right.
Then Hamilton.
Yay!
Was his first mistake and got a lot of press coverage. Then Sutil and then Ralph Schumacher.
I mean, it has to be said the marshals at Monaco are doing a wonderful job because every time a car effectively crashes into a barrier, they have to shut the racetrack to drag it out of the way because there's just no runoff areas. There's nowhere to put a car. So they did a great job of keeping the track kind of running as smoothly as it could. But yeah, Hamilton, first mistake of the year. And what a mistake.
But I mean, he was in good company. It wasn't like he was the only one that made a mistake.
No,
everyone
did,
so.
No, that's true. He got his back wheel slightly. I think it's bumpy into Sandoval this year. Maybe it's more bumpy than it used to be, or maybe the cars are affected more than they used to be. And his rear tyres weren't glued to the ground, maybe as he expected them to be. It might have been his first run on the super soft tyre. So it was less grip. His tyres were kind of up in the air, and he couldn't turn in as he expected to. And that was the end of his free practice running.
Alonso continued to be fastest. This time followed by Raikkonen and then Hamilton behind them. Fisichella was fifth with Kovalainen down in 17th, so he was still struggling.
That's a serious gap between teammates, isn't it?
Saturday free practice, it started to rain.
Yes.
The track was declared wet. Renault apparently turned up with a new front wing.
Yeah, it's a bit late coming, but they're not that far from, I guess, from the UK, so they flew it in especially. I'm assuming they flew in two. To be honest with you, I can't really tell the difference. Presumably it offers them better aero or better downforce in a slow track like this. And I guess they're happy with it, but
didn't seem to make that much difference.
It didn't. They weren't, Fisichella wasn't doing too badly on Thursday, was he? So difficult to tell, but I guess maybe it's more of a confidence boost for the team, just to make them feel a bit better.
Because it was wet, most people decided to stay in the garage. Yes. Cowards. But then it's hardly surprising given the amount of crashes they've seen.
Yes.
The times were all over the place. McLaren didn't seem to be too happy in the wet.
Not as happy as they were in the dry, certainly. Ferrari were closer in the damp conditions. In fact, you might even say Ferrari were faster in the damp conditions.
But they have Massa. We know he's not a fan of the water.
No, he's not, is he? No. He's probably freaking out.
Is it time to talk about it yet?
No. Just a bit longer.
Honda are making a tiny bit of progress.
Yes.
Well, they appear to be anyway. And Jenson Button certainly seems happier.
They are definitely ahead of the Supergirls, which, you know, in the terms of this season, that's pretty good.
I think they must have messed up the clocks or something because Sutil was fastest in free practice three.
Where did that come from?
I don't understand.
In a spiker?
In a spiker.
Adrian Sutil.
Fastest ahead of Raikkonen and Hamilton.
Right, so that was spiker Ferrari McLaren.
That makes no sense.
That's what happens when it rains.
And just for the record, Kovalainen was seventh whilst Fisichella was fourth.
That's
so
more like it. I think it's that placebo front wing.
Listen up, everyone. If you ride a sport bike and you're not listening to the Knee Dragon Podcast, you're not getting the whole story. The Knee Dragon Podcast is motorcycle talk that doesn't suck. We cover all things sport bike related, from superbike and MotoGP racing to the newest street sport bikes, from riding technique to the latest technology. If it affects our sport, it's in the show. So check it out. www.kneedragon.net.
So we watched qualifying on TV. On the Hamilton show.
The Hamilton show.
Did you enjoy the Hamilton show this week?
Either we are going to have to skip the pre-race stuff or watch it with
silence.
The sound turned down.
It's unbelievable. It must have been 4 seconds. Was it 4 seconds before the name was mentioned?
But it's not that. It's just every time they finish any kind of clip or the coverage or whatever, then it's like, so Hamilton was good or what do we think about Hamilton? And it's like, there are other people out there.
it's absolute madness now. It's turned into a complete farce because did they or did they not have an interview with Mika Häkkinen in the back of a taxi? And what's the only question they asked him?
What do you think of Lewis Hamilton?
What are his chances? Anyone gets asked the same questions, regardless of who they are, or what they've done, or what their achievements in their life are. What do you think of Lewis Hamilton?
Yes, we are British. Yes, we are proud. But give it a rest. On the other hand, we do like Anthony Davidson because he is nice and honest. He said he was absolutely gutted that Sato got the point last race instead of him. And he is pleased as punch that they're beating Honda.
Tell it like it is.
The first session of qualifying was a bit damp. It rained on and off before the start. But it was all about Hamilton versus Alonso.
And who got the nod in the first?
Well, Hamilton was fastest, but he kept on going.
Right.
Like, I'm fastest, but I'm going to do an even faster lap.
Was he just getting his eye in, maybe?
I think he was just practicing. Coulthard went out on hard tyres whilst everyone else was on the super softs.
Okay.
And he was aiming to get out of the dropout zone. So he was aiming for 16th, but he managed to get 8th.
Pretty good going.
And then he went again and got 7th. So
he's going well then.
Those tyres seem to be pretty good. Right at the end, Liuzzi got P4, although I have no idea how.
Where did that come from?
No idea.
I can only imagine he just straight lined the chicane, didn't he? Did nobody notice? How could he possibly have got that into that car in that position? It's not even like speed was just as quick. He was well down the order.
Speed was actually out with Davidson, Ralph, two spikers and Sato. That leads us nicely on to qualifying two. Is it time now?
Yeah, go on then, say it.
Oh my God, Raikkonen stopped in the same place on track as Michael Schumacher did last year.
The Rascals corner.
It was brilliant.
What on earth are the chances?
You could not
write that script, could you?
You couldn't make it up.
You couldn't say it any better. I mean, it was, oh lordy. Hopefully one day someone on YouTube, some enterprising young soul, will get last year's footage and this year's footage and overlay the two. Those cars were within a millimetre.
Well, what actually happened? We didn't actually see it, but it looked like he hit the barrier.
He clipped the barrier. He was going too fast about three corners previously.
Then his wheel started pointing in different directions.
He took out his front suspension. He couldn't make the Laraskas corner. And so he straight lined it and parked
it on the corner.
And unusually though, for Ferrari parked in that corner, he found reverse and managed to drive it back into pits. Well, only affecting his own teammate's lap.
Yeah, how scary must that be? Massa came bombing it round the corner and, oh my God,
there's a car.
But then Alonso had that last year and he coped.
I think probably last year Alonso had time on the radio to be told. I'm not entirely sure whether Massa didn't sort of appear unexpectedly.
But now every time anyone goes around that corner, I just keep thinking there's going to be a Ferrari there. Seems to be the way it goes. So with Raikkonen out and Massa getting caught in the chaos, it was Hamilton versus Alonso again. Either way, the McLaren guys were happy, weren't they, really?
Yeah.
Coulthard had a bit of an issue because Kovalainen was coming up behind him on a fast lap.
Yep.
Coulthard was on his out lap and didn't let him through, didn't see blue flags, whatever.
Yeah.
Held him up.
Well, the thing is, post kind of qualifying, they asked Coulthard about the incident and he basically said, yeah, it's not my fault, you know, I didn't mean to do it. I wasn't told or the information wasn't communicated to me that he was on a hot lap. And you have to say, okay, maybe the team let him down. Maybe he didn't get the information on the radio. Maybe he misheard something. But there were marshals waving blue flags. And he has those two things either side of his cockpit, which are kind of reflective glass things.
What, those mirrors?
Yeah, and he can see cars behind him approaching really, really quickly. And so he wasn't paying attention, regardless of what he says. And he definitely held up Kovalainen unfairly. He deserves to be punished.
Well, he didn't want to let him through because then Kovalainen would have been on his...
Slowing down lap. And got in his way.
I mean, I don't think he's lying, but maybe he's just deluded himself into thinking he would never do that kind of thing. So obviously he wasn't given the information.
No, but it was a shame because Kovalainen, you know, he could have done with a little bit of a good run then.
It's a real shame because he was doing well and Coulthard was doing well.
Yeah.
And then they both got screwed.
Yes.
This time, Liuzzi went 13th.
Right.
So again, what happened?
Bipolar. No question.
How did he manage 4th one time and then 13th the next time?
I'm telling you, he straight lined the swimming pool. There's no way in the world he could have got a car up to 14th and then down to 13th. Not. Someone must have missed something somewhere.
So he was out with Button, Wurz, Trulli, Kovalainen and obviously Raikkonen. The beginning of qualifying 3 saw Coulthard being told he couldn't take part, which to me means that he would be P10. Because he couldn't take part, so he'd be last in that session.
So he got through to Q3, but he's not allowed to play, so he's in 10th place.
That's what it says to me.
Okay.
But then everyone was saying he was in 16th, which, although it doesn't follow logically to me, it does make sense. You know, they were demoting him to the last place of the second.
Yeah, I think that's qualifying. What the official timing screen just said anyway. Yeah, 16th place.
So I don't think that's fair, but at the same time, that makes sense. But we thought we would wait and see what the official line was.
And what's the official line?
And the official line is he's in 13th.
What?
13th.
Why?
He's being demoted 2 places from 11th.
Right.
I don't understand.
Was he in 11th ever?
I don't think so.
I'm confused.
I'm absolutely confused.
Well, is there an official line on it?
No, that's it.
Right.
They just say he is being demoted 2 places from 11th.
Right, okay. So, okay, fine, fair enough. So he didn't take part in the last and final part of qualifying. Jensen Button took his place.
Yeah, which is a good thing.
Yeah, fair enough. That's pretty good. I mean, Jensen's first time into the last session of qualifying.
Yeah, he did say that right at the end. He was like, oh, I can't believe I'm saying it, but yay for getting into the final qualifying. Bless him. Alonso seems to like his strategy of staying in the pits while Hamilton and everyone else queues up at the end of the pit lane.
Absolutely, yeah.
Seems to work for him. And they were setting fast times straight away. Just in case, because of the rain and all the incidents.
Yeah, that strikes me as slightly interesting strategy, actually, because after qualifying, Ron Dennis was quoted as saying, yeah, we predicted the weather down to the nearest 5 seconds. So if he can predict the weather, why is he sending his drivers out to do quick laps just in case it might rain?
Especially because that's definitely not Alonso's style. He likes to leave things till the last minute.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe they've got good weather forecasters, but they just don't trust them. Which is brilliant.
So for the first time all day, Alonso actually managed to beat Hamilton.
Woo!
Yay! But Hamilton was really pushing it, wasn't he? He was slipping around all over the circuit.
There was a four-wheel slide in there.
There was some drifting. It was quite exciting,
It was very, very good driving. Very impressed. It's the first McLaren pole of the season and the first McLaren 1-2 of the season. So they are looking mighty. If it's dry tomorrow, they're going to be amazing.
So the top three in qualifying were Alonso, then Hamilton, and then Massa. It was quite a good qualifying, really.
Blimey, it was an excellent qualifying. I really enjoyed that. I don't really know where to start. I mean, everybody. We could probably cover everybody.
Well, let's do that.
Okay, so who's first? Alonso.
So Alonso was in P1.
He got the better of his teammate, and that was important. He did what he had to do and what he couldn't do in Barcelona, and he has the most important pole of the year.
And Hamilton is in second.
Front row alongside his teammate.
He's not going to be disappointed with that, is he?
No, first corner is going to be interesting because if he gets a slight sniff of the inside of Alonso, if he can maybe, you know, gets a bit of a better start, he then has to make the decision. Does he go for it? Does he push? Does he maybe, you know,
take a risk on his teammate? I don't see it happening, actually.
Well,
I think that Alonso will just fly away.
That's the thing. He seems to have better starts than Hamilton, but we know what Hamilton can be like in the first corner of any Grand Prix. So that's going to be a great, great start to watch.
Massa in third.
Very good, actually. Saved Ferrari's bacon a bit then. What with Kimi kind of messing up as he did, that's as good as they can expect right now.
Fisichella in fourth, which is a turn up for Renault, I think.
That's a great, great, great turnaround for Renault.
Next is Rosberg.
Rumour has it he had a broken or slightly wonky rear suspension when he put that time in, which is very, very, very good.
Weber showing his true qualifying potential.
Very, very good from Weber.
It won't last, though.
The car will never make it to the end.
It will break down.
No question about it, no question.
Heidfeld and Kubica in 7th and 8th.
Yeah, not good for BMW. That's their worst qualifying positions, isn't it, as a pairing?
And the two Hondas in 9th and 10th. It was weird because Button was ahead of Barrichello for a bit, and then they swapped places.
Yeah, I think it's still Barrichello's experience on these tyres. I mean, he really knows these tyres well from Ferrari in 2004. And when it comes to, you know, getting the absolute maximum and finding the absolute limit on these tyres, Barrichello's just got the edge.
What?
Slightly disappointing compared to Rosberg. He's not set the world on fire this year, is he, thus far?
Lietzi is up to 12th, thanks to Coulthard.
That's a pretty good run for the Toro Rosso.
Not when he was in 4th.
Well, I still don't believe that was true.
Next is Coulthard for no apparent reason.
Supposedly he's starting this position, who knows?
Next is Trulli.
Yeah, not great, is it? Not a great qualifying
he's
position.
He's usually so good at qualifying.
Yeah, you'd put money on him making the last 10, wouldn't you? But
But he's in front of some important people, i.e. Raikkonen.
Yes.
And Trulli is not easy to overtake at the best of times.
It's going to be a hell of a Trulli train, isn't it?
Let alone at Monaco.
No. Who's behind him?
Kovalainen is behind him.
Okay. That's a bit of a shame starting from there.
And then Raikkonen.
Ooh.
And then Davidson.
It's not so bad.
Did well, but, you know, he's going to be stuck behind him.
Yeah.
Speed.
Right.
He was way behind Lietzi.
That is quite a considerable distance, isn't it?
And Soutil, who obviously couldn't keep up his fine form from
free practice. No.
Ralf Schumacher is way down.
Man, that guy is having the worst season on record,
isn't he?
What's
that, 20th?
That is beyond atrocious. Did you see him? I didn't even see him. I don't know what he was up to today.
Then Sato and Albers.
Albers didn't actually turn a lap, did he?
Did he not do a lap?
I'm not even sure he took part in qualifying at all. Ah. I didn't see him once and he hasn't set a time. We'll have to assume he just sat in his garage.
So tomorrow I'm going to be keeping my eye on Raikkonen because he's going to be trying to get through the field unless he just gives up and crashes it straight away.
Well,
he's a bit temper tantrum kind of thing.
It'd be interesting to see who decides to start from the pit lane. I mean, if there's any chance there might be some kind of melee at the first corner, then it might be a wise team to start their guy from the pit lane, as they did with Schumacher last year. And he did quite well, coming right from the back.
22nd to 5th last year.
There's a chance, maybe start Raikkonen from the pit lane and see what he can do from there.
And I'm also going to be keeping my eye on Weber, because I really want him to finish.
You know, I want Fisichella to do well. I think Renault need a bit of buoying up, just to give him a bit more confidence. We're looking potentially at some bad weather for the race, so it's going to be a lottery. Potentially when that happens. And all sorts of people who you wouldn't expect to be anywhere near the running are in with a chance of a podium.
You can tell Monaco is my favourite because we did our longest ever video about it.
We've been working hard, haven't we? Did someone not say on our YouTube that you're the hardest working lady in podcasting?
Well, they said woman.
Oh, okay.
Apparently I'm a hard working woman.
I think we've reached a milestone whereby our video is so large and so long that if it was another 30 seconds longer, it would be too big to upload to YouTube. We have to split it into two separate sections. I think that's a milestone in our podcasting history, don't you?
But you were complaining.
What was I complaining
about? Renault.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, we've got a new section. Obviously, we've done lap previews in the past. But this week, there was the launch of ING's new... what was it called? F1?
It is the ING Race Index.
That's right.
And basically, what it is, it's like a classification kind of system where you can compare the tracks. You give them index number out of 100, and you can compare them.
Right. Well, they gave us a really cool, gorgeous kind of looking 3D orange video, which is...
I don't think gorgeous and orange should go in the same sentence.
Well, it had kind of like cool 3D reflections, mm-hmm. and the car was all shiny and that kind of stuff. And they obviously put a lot of effort into this video. And they supplied it in 4x3 standard screen format. Even Bernie has managed to get Formula One into widescreen format this year.
So they're unusually behind the times.
Well, he's a, you know, technological dinosaur.
Isn't it ING rather than...
Yeah, Renault. It's ING rather than Renault, but they put it in a funny format and we had to do some funny things to it and ended up sort of cropping half the picture off and zooming in on things that probably shouldn't be zoomed.
So make sure you go and check it out. There's a million places you can find it.
Go on, tell us where we can find it.
On the website, sidepodcast.tv.
Yep.
It's on YouTube.
Okay.
Just. It's on Daily Motion.
Yep.
It's on Blip TV.
Yep.
That's all I can think of.
That's enough. It's on a couple of other places.
MySpace?
Yeah, it's on MySpace and it's on YourSpace, which is a bizarre Formula One take of MySpace. It's on the podcast. It's on the SidePodcast TV feed. It's on the main feed. It's pretty much everywhere.
You can't escape it, to be honest. You can't escape
the video, but we love it. We really enjoyed doing it, didn't we? A lot of fun.
I love it, yeah. And it's a hell of a lot better than an advert we saw today for the Silverstone Grand Prix. Right. Oh my God. It's like... You know, you see those adverts for your local sofa shop and it's this really dodgy camera work and they try and make the room look really huge.
They use a really wide lens on it so it looks like some kind of, you know, massive warehouse.
Yeah, and really it's just someone's living room.
Someone's converted living room. That kind of, you know, the kind of adverts we're talking about. And they put it together in the worst possible way.
And then the phone number at the end, it was like... animated, so it bounced. Oh my God. Bounced each number as they read it out twice.
Oh, it hurt me so much to watch that.
Seriously. We could do it so much better.
Damon, call us.
While we're waiting for him to call us, we're going to watch the Monaco Grand Prix tomorrow.
Yep.
Do the podcast.
Yep.
So make sure you join us and
you don't want to miss this one.
Find out what we think.